You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with.
Welcome to the Health Science Coach Podcast. My name is Drew Garner, and I'm a health science and physical education teacher. This is a podcast to help students, parents, and recent graduates learn about pathways into healthcare and sports medicine careers. These industry professionals lay out how their experiences have helped them get to where they are now. If you enjoy this content, please subscribe to the channel or download through your podcast player. Thanks again for spending some time with us today. Now let's dig in. Welcome, Caroline. How are you doing today?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're really excited to learn about all that Cleveland University has to offer and what you do there. Can you give us a little detail about your career and what it means to be an academic advisor?
Absolutely. So I am an admissions advisor at Cleveland University, Kansas City, and it means a lot of things. But overall, to me, it means being a guide for their students on their journey into college, whether that be a first-time student or a transfer student, or even somebody who's taken a lot of time off from going to school and is looking to return. I'm their first point of contact with the university, and I work with them all the way up until they're walking in the door on their first day, and sometimes even working with them while they're in the program if they're trying to get into another degree program while they're here. So I'm kind of staying as the first point of contact for that student throughout their entire journey. So to me, it just kind of means being not only a guide to show them everything that Cleveland has to offer, but just being a person that they can rely on for answers no matter what their questions are.
Absolutely. Yeah. That academic pathway can be tricky for, you know, first time college students, as well as people that are working full time and going back to school.
Absolutely.
So being able to guide them through that pathway is pretty impressive, and being able to do all that. What's a day in the life of, or a week in the life of, kind of look like for that admissions advisor role that you fulfill?
I'll go more for a week in a life, because a day in a life can look pretty different, but it usually starts off with me just like logging in and checking anybody that was a new lead that came into our system. So people who inquire throughout the website or anything, a lot of that happens in the evening when you're home from school or work. So we reach out to those people who've inquired for more information on our programs. Then I usually am out recruiting in some form. So whether that be going to a high school college fair, or sometimes I give classroom presentations, like since Cleveland specifically offers health science programs, right, I usually go to science classes or HOSA clubs and do presentations for smaller groups that way. Or I do other events around Kansas City, more community outreach. So sometimes I do career speaking days at elementary schools or middle schools. So there's usually some part of my day that I'm away from my desk, out recruiting. Other times when I'm in the office, I'm giving campus tours to prospective students, mm-hmm, or doing one-on-one advising sessions with students, usually on campus, but now since COVID, sometimes those are via Zoom as well. So that can look like me reviewing a student's transcripts to see what kind of GPA or what kind of classes they've taken, to kind of give advice on what might transfer to Cleveland or what they should do for their application. So those are kind of things that we would either do when they come to do a campus tour, or just if I'm advising them. Other times I'm just kind of on the phone following up with students about their applications, or I get to, you know, make those phone calls that say, congratulations, you've been accepted, and kind of walk them through the next steps for getting enrolled at Cleveland and that sort of thing. So that's probably the best part of my day, getting to just like deliver good news over the phone and get to hear how excited the students are. But yeah, that's kind of what it can overall look like throughout the week. I'm kind of doing a lot of different things.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty fun though, being able to help them and, you know, check all the different stuff throughout the programs and making sure they're getting all their paperwork filled out correctly.
There's just so much stuff you have to turn in, like as you're doing the application, after you fill out the application. So I'm kind of just there as like your little helpful reminder to get everything in on time.
That's awesome. So you studied undergraduate at the University of Missouri, and you studied hospitality management and business. What kind of led you towards that path of, you know, wanting to go into that as a freshman or, you know, in college?
Well, so I did start my journey off at Mizzou undecided, which I don't know that we talk about it enough, how it's definitely okay to be a senior in high school and not know what you want to do. I don't think you should be expected to know what you want to do with the rest of your life. So I kind of went in undecided. And then after taking like a lot of just general education courses for the first year, I still wasn't entirely sure what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So I gravitated towards hospitality management because I kind of took the time to look at myself and I thought, what am I good at? Like, where are your strengths? And my previous jobs before going to college had been in a customer service or hospitality setting. I knew I had good customer service skills and was kind of people oriented. Right. So that's what kind of led me into hospitality, because I liked people, but for me, health science personally was not it. I wasn't good with the other part, like patient care, yes, but doing all the other tasks was not for me. So this kind of led me to hospitality, to be in a people-focused career. I also really liked hospitality management because of how open-ended it was. A lot of times too, I feel like students think like once you pick your major, like you have to get a job that was in your major, where that's not necessarily true. A lot of times it's more relevant experience. So for me, hospitality and business was kind of like, I could take that a lot of different directions after I graduated. And that's kind of how I got into that major.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense by, you know, being open to a lot of different avenues as far as the hospitality part of it goes. You know, as a academic advisor, that's still a part of hospitality, making the students feel welcome and Absolutely. Making them want to be a part of what you guys have to offer.
Yeah.
So you spent 3 years in HR and sales before you decided to take your position at Cleveland. And have been there for the last 4 years serving as an admissions advisor. How did you choose to get back in or get into the healthcare, if you will, or college setting and help students get into school?
Yeah. So actually, when I was a student at Mizzou, I did belong to a group called Peer Career Coaches. So as a student, I actually was like a resume reviewer, and I helped people do like mock interviews for job fairs and things like that. It was just something I really enjoyed doing and helped me better my own resume and interviewing skills as a student. And so when I got into the workforce after college in a kind of sales oriented position, I worked in the hospitality industry, but my role was as a sales manager at a hotel. I did that for a while, and there were things I liked about it, but at the end of the day, I don't think sales was right for me. It was just so much about the number and not so much about the people. And that's kind of what I missed. I felt like there was kind of lacking something. So then when I saw that there was an admissions advisor position open at Cleveland, I thought that's a way to use the skills that I've trained for, but in a much more rewarding way. Now I get to build these relationships with students. It's actually really great. Like with our chiropractic program, the OTA, the Rad Tech, as students progress through the program, we have white coat ceremonies and scrub ceremonies before they get into their clinic hours. So now I just get to kind of watch these students go and be like, oh, I remember when you first called in and wanted to get started, and look at you now, you're like about to start treating patients. And it's just been a much more rewarding experience. So that's what kind of led me into education. Also, education to me, it's something that nobody can take away from you. It's a kind of investment where that investment is only ever going to grow with you. Nobody can take that education away from you. And I just think it's really beneficial, no matter what age you are, to always continue learning if you can, to always continue taking classes. And so just overall, like what I believe in as a person, higher education is a much better fit for me.
Yeah, I really like that pathway. And, you know, like you said, being able to help those people as they first call in and say, hey, you know, I want to be a chiropractor, I'm ready to start the program. And then, as you said, the white coat ceremonies and seeing them throughout that whole journey. Are there any misconceptions maybe that people might have about dealing with academic advisors or advisement work?
I think maybe like the main misconception is that like we are like choosing your classes and your path for you, where really I'm here to show you what all the options are. Because there's like with chiropractic specifically, I mean, really with any of the programs, but there's a lot of different roads you can take to get into a doctor of chiropractic program. So when a student calls in and says like, well, should I do this? Should I do this? Should I do this? I can say like, you can actually do all three of those. It's just right. like, this is how it will lead you. And I think it's more like, we're here to advise you, not tell you exactly what to do. We're here to kind of provide you all the options. So I think maybe that would be the biggest misconception. But another one is like, definitely, it seems like more and more these days, people are a little more apprehensive to like get on the phone and just talk to someone, where that can be really beneficial, like connecting with an advisor at your school ahead of time. Just having like a quick 10-minute phone call can really give that advisor a much more well-rounded idea of who you are and what you're looking to get into. And we can get you answers more quickly that way. So that would be another thing. Just don't be afraid to call and ask like, hey, I really want to talk to an advisor.
Okay. Yeah. I really like that. So far, you know, 4 years as an academic advisor, what's something that you feel that you could be most proud of professionally, you know, that could be over the last 7 years of being in the workforce, or, you know, just kind of a general thing that you've accomplished as an individual?
Well, I think my biggest accomplishment would be serving in my role as president of KCCAP, the Kansas City College Admissions Professionals, just because I was elected from my group of peers. So that was just really rewarding for me to know that other industry professionals saw something in me as a leader to lead that group. So that's been my proudest accomplishment.
Awesome. Well, yeah, let's jump in to talk about KCCAP and what that program is. Like you said, you were chosen by your peers to be the president of this group, and it's a group here in Kansas City it's a group here in Kansas City that, you know, advises students on different programs within schools around the general area. Let's talk about, in your words, what KCCAP Group is and what you guys do.
Yeah, so like I kind of said, KCCAP stands for Kansas City College Admissions Professionals. So we have about 30 schools, member schools in our organization that have campuses here in the Kansas City area. So what we do is we work with any type of student, but a lot of times we work with adult learners or career changers, students who maybe have some education experience but are looking to get more. So what we do is connect with business professionals. Like a lot of businesses around Kansas City have benefits for their employees where they do tuition reimbursement or things of that nature. So we try to connect with those businesses to say, hey, we know you offer this wonderful benefit for your employees. We have a bunch of programs that your employees might be interested in. And so we set up community education fairs. So we've done things with Garmin, with Hallmark. We are doing something with the Kansas City Police Academy in April. So we just, all of the schools will go and kind of set up like any other college fair. So like any kind of high school college fair that you've been to, everybody has a table and they kind of go around and can search all of our different degrees. But we also have a website where you can filter by the degree program that you're looking for. You can see which one of our member schools offer that. So you can kind of get connected to degrees by the website too.
Yeah, that's really cool. So as far as, you know, like a Cerner or something like that, mm-hmm. if you had a career education fair with them, what does that process kind of look like as a employee of that company?
So as an employee of that company, it's really, really simple. So what Cerner would do is they would just send out probably an email to all of their employees or wherever they post announcements for their employees and say, hey, look, on this date from 11 to 1, we're going to be hosting an education fair. Come down to this room. And then KCCAP would organize the rest. So I would get all the schools to RSVP and find out who's going to be there. We would, you know, go in. Usually they just have the tables set up for us. And so we would come in, set up everything like a college fair, and then just be there to connect personally with the employees. So if you were coming and wanted to learn about Cleveland, you'd see me there at the table and I would just be connecting with you straight away.
Okay. Yeah. So somebody that wanted to reach out to you or a part of the KC CAP group, how would somebody that is not affiliated with one of those programs could get in more contact with you guys?
So through our website, there would be a way to contact us. I have access to an email account. It's kccappresident@gmail.com. So they could email us that way, or they could even just email me at Cleveland and say, hey, I heard about KC CAP, and I would be able to get them connected.
Okay, perfect. And then some questions I have about academic advisors and what all you guys do as a part of learning industry trends or college trends, or, you know, getting kids applied and confirmed into college. What are some of those trends and how have they changed within the last 5 years?
Well, a lot of trends that we've been seeing lately, I just feel like all revolve around COVID. We were really down in applications and enrollment nationwide, but we are seeing that start to increase again. Another thing that we're actually seeing to increase after the pandemic is more first generation students applying to college. So that's really exciting. But yeah, just increases overall. We're also seeing another trend is increase in test optional schools. Yes. Which I think is definitely beneficial, especially after this pandemic. I think we can all agree that across the board, standardized test scores have dropped since the students have not been able to be in the classroom. So I think that's a huge benefit. It should be somewhat relieving to those students to know that a lot of colleges are going test optional at the time. So to focus on your grades and your classes and not to stress so much about those standardized test scores.
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard several kids in some of my classes talking about that and asking about it as juniors and seniors. As far as the test optional schools, what would be the benefits, I guess, of both ways? So going in as a test optional program versus, you know, studying and taking the ACT or SAT and have trying to score well on that as well as your GPA and, you know, your other academics.
Well, regardless on if you go test optional or not, I do think it's beneficial for every student to take it just to one, see how you do. The main benefit is some schools are going to require you have that score for certain scholarships. So that would be the big thing. I don't think going test optional would hinder your admissions in any way, but it could just hinder the amount of scholarships that you're available for, at least at this point in time. I'm right. Still seeing a lot of ACT requirements for scholarships.
Yeah, I would imagine that would kind of still stay in place as a, you know, as a part of a scholarship program. You're trying to do something extra and above and pay that money to be able to do that. That would make sense.
Yeah.
Is there any professional development academic advisors do or other learning tools that you guys go to as far as conferences or CEUs or anything like that?
Yeah. So I do at least like 3 sessions of professional development a year. It's actually kind of a requirement for us to do professional development. One of the big ones that I try to do every year is you guys maybe have heard of this acronym before, but there's like MOACAC and JPACAC and CACRO. These are all like college admissions professional groups. Like MOACAC is Missouri Association for College Admissions Counseling. So they kind of organize all of the, and then on the Kansas side, it's called CACRO. So they organize all the college fairs like for the high schools, but they also put on conferences every year. So luckily with Kansas and Missouri, we all fall under JPACAC, which is the Great Plains Association for College Admissions Counseling. So they host a big conference every year. It's actually in Kansas City this April. So luckily I don't have to travel for that one. It's actually going to be on the plaza. So it'll be 2 days of session. So there'll be different tracks that you can take, whether you're a high school counselor or a college admissions counselor. So they'll have a keynote speaker, but there's different sessions that you can take. Like the last conference I went to was actually, it was in 2019 before the pandemic. So it's been a while since we've been able to go, that's why I'm looking forward to this year. But back then in 2019, like one of the sessions we did was how to recruit Gen Z students. It was kind of talking about what are the trends we're seeing with these, with this next generation of students. Maybe recruiting tactics that we used to use aren't going to work on this generation, how we kind of need to adapt to be able to connect with them. So there'll be different sessions like that, that you can choose from. So that's a big professional development thing that we do. Casey Cap, we also host a professional development for our organization every year that's planned by members in our institution. So we get to kind of pick topics that are interested to us and kind of book speakers that way and do it for our member school. So yeah, we do a lot of professional development, a lot of trends in recruiting. I did a lot of professional development during the pandemic on how to virtually recruit, best practices for using Zoom, things like that. So it can look a lot of different ways, but yeah, definitely lots of development opportunities.
Yeah, that's good to know that, you know, there's, and attracting different students, there's different ways to, you know, market your school and your programs and how to best do that to serve the people that you want. As far as Cleveland goes, there's really not another chiropractic school in the general region, which is nice because you're able to pull from Kansas and Iowa and Nebraska and, you know, there's just the general Midwest.
Yeah, those are our big states.
Yeah. And so as far as chiropractic goes, but you also offer other degrees, and we're going to talk a little bit about what all you guys do have to offer. You have offer a doctorate in chiropractic, master's in science and exercise physiology.
Yes.
Bachelor's of Science in Human Biology, a Bachelor's of Science of Exercise Science, Associate's Arts in Biological Sciences, Applied Associate's in Occupational Therapy Assistant, and an Associate's in Radiology Technology, and a Workplace Health Promotion Certificate. So you do offer a lot of things. It's not, and when I grew up in Kansas City, it was always referred to as Cleveland Chiropractic College.
Yes. So it wasn't too long ago. It's been within the last 10 years that we renamed to Cleveland University, Kansas City. We've actually been offering the bachelor's in human biology since 1995, but it really just started at that time. We were still Cleveland Chiropractic College. And at that time, it really was just brought in so that students going into the chiropractic program could have some undergrad, if they needed to finish up some prerequisites, we would offer them here. So that's how that degree got started. But the great thing about it is it's really transformed into its own thing. Students can take that bachelor's of human biology degree and not go into chiropractic. They can use it kind of as a pre-med program for any other type of graduate program they're looking to get into. Or if they just really like doing the lab work, they can get a job in a research setting as a biologist just with the bachelor's degree alone. Yeah. That bachelor's in human biology is also part of a program that we can call the concurrent BSDC program, where students can come right out of high school, start in that human biology degree, and then the last year of the bachelor's degree and the first year of the chiropractic program actually overlap. That's where the concurrent part comes from. Right. And they can earn both of those degrees in 6 years' time. So that's something that's really great too. Yeah. If you know chiropractic is for you, it's definitely the fastest way to become a chiropractor.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. As far as the master's in exercise physiology, what all it goes into that program?
Yeah, so that is actually a brand new program. So we actually just got that accredited this year. And so we'll be enrolling students in that program this fall. So we don't have any students in there currently. The main reason why we wanted to do the master's in exercise physiology is, one, we have a lot of chiropractic graduates who then want to further their education. So this is a way for some of our alumni to continue their education that way. But also with the bachelor's in exercise science, there are a lot of job opportunities that you can have with just a bachelor's degree, but a lot of exercise science positions, it's better to have a master's degree. So it kind of bridges the exercise science into that master's program. Okay. With a bachelor's in exercise science, you can go into chiropractic, physical therapy, again, but those are grad programs that you would transition into. As just a bachelor's in exercise science, most of the jobs are going to be more like personal and athletic training. Some companies do hire exercise science degree students to do like health and wellness plans for their employees, but you're looking at an average salary of about $50,000 for that. So if you're looking for something that's going to be a little bit more high earning or have more patient facing positions, going into the master's is kind of a natural next step.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. A question that I've heard also from one of our students that's interested in chiropractic is he read about a program, excuse me, that he can become a physical therapist and a doctor of chiropractic with the same degree. Is that something that Cleveland offers, or is that something that is different and he is not correct on that?
I am not aware of a degree that lets you do that. So it's definitely not offered at Cleveland. But what I will say is within the chiropractic program, there's going to be, you learn a lot about physical therapy in the chiropractic program. In order to get licensed as a chiropractor, our students have to pass 5 national board exams. One of them, part 4, is completely over PT. We have PT bays in our clinic downstairs so that you can do those types of exercises with your patients. So there's a lot of physical therapy in chiropractic, but it definitely wouldn't have you be, you wouldn't be a DPT upon graduating.
Yeah. Just wanted to clear that up. Good. Yeah. And then as far as the occupational therapy assistant program, let's talk a little bit about how that was developed and started.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Rad Tech and the OTA were actually started at the same time, and they're structured in a very similar way. They're both Associate of Applied Science degrees. They both require the same general education and prerequisite courses going into it. As an occupational therapy assistant, you are helping patients develop, recover, or improve skills needed for daily living. I think a lot of times people see occupational therapy and they get it kind of confused with physical therapy. It Right. is very different, and you're very focused on the function and meaning of tasks as an OTA. And as an OTA, you're actually the one that is doing the hands-on therapy with the patient. You will be like reporting to an OT, but you're going to be the one working one-on-one with them. An OTA can look like a lot of different things. You know, you could work in a school district with children, teaching them how to play and socialize if that's something they're not developing on their own. Or you could be working with somebody who has suffered, an adult who suffered an injury. So could be they got in a car accident, now they have a brain injury, they might have limited mobility on one side. So doing things with them like helping them learn how to zip or button a jacket with one hand if the other one's not working, or maybe they're having cognitive issues. So you're teaching them how to do routines again, like remembering to brush their teeth, or visual cues for the hot and cold water on the sink. So right. all of your patients are very different in the occupational therapy world. Some of them might have the same issues to overcome, but they're not going to necessarily be able, what one solution is for one patient won't necessarily work for another. So yeah. it's a really great career if you like creative problem solving, because every day looks a little bit different as an OTA.
Yeah. And as far as the radiology technology department goes, what does that kind of look like as far as a student coming in to get that associate's?
Yeah. Well, the great thing is what I'm seeing more and more of, especially when I have high school students applying to the program, is a lot of dual credit opportunities are available to high school students. And most of the time they already have a class or two on that prerequisite list finished coming in. So when that's the case, it can sometimes take less than 2 years to complete that rad tech degree. So they'll get started in all the general education classes like English, psychology, public speaking, and then on to more of like the prerequisite courses like the anatomy and physiology and the medical terminology. And then once all of those are finished, it's actually just a 16-month long core rad tech program. Okay. So we run on a trimester schedule at Cleveland. So 16 months, it's 4 trimesters, 1 year, and then another 4 months. The first 2 trimesters of that program, they're just on campus in class 4 nights a week. It is an evening program. Okay. So they do a lot of their classes up front. And then in that 3rd semester is when they start their clinical experiences. So classes go down to 2 nights a week. They're doing about 24 hours a week at their clinical site. And then in that last semester of the program, it's 40 hours a week at that clinical site. So the clinical sites vary as well. We do some big hospitals, but we also do some smaller outpatient imaging centers, really just so you can get a well-rounded experience of the different types of setting rad techs can work in. You know, because in a hospital, in like a emergency department that's a little larger, you might have a patient that's too critical to get up to radiology. You could be using a portable machine. Whereas the outpatient imaging centers, most of the time your patients are walking in on their own 2 feet. It's a little bit more, I don't want to say laid back, but maybe not so fast paced. And it's a little bit more regular schedule, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Whereas we know with a hospital, it's a 24-hour operation. So you could be working really any shift.
Yeah. That is, that's pretty good to be able to have those, both of those available there. As far as a perfect student, let's look at, or a perfect applicant, I guess, I shouldn't say student. And it'll vary depending on the programs, but the perfect applicant for going to get their doctorate at Cleveland for chiropractic, what does that kind of person look like as far as GPAs, programs they've been involved with, experience, that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So like I said, I mean, you really can take a lot of different routes to become a chiropractor, but what I would recommend the most is at minimum, we require a 3.0 GPA in 90 credit hours of college coursework in order to be admitted to the chiropractic program. Students can be admitted if they have a 275 to a 299, but they get put on like an alternative admissions track plan. So really ideally, we'd be looking for somebody to have at least a 3.0 in their college coursework. Majors that we most commonly see and that I would commonly recommend to students are going to be anything that has a really heavy science background. Right. The first trimester of the chiropractic program is 29 credit hours, which typically, you know, you're in about 12 to 15 in an undergrad semester. So it's 29 and it's really just science classes, all science classes. Mm-hmm. So biology, chemistry, exercise science, kinesiology, those are the majors that I would recommend that are going to give you the strongest foundation going into the chiropractic program. However, I will say that we have had some students go the business route because as a chiropractor, a lot of times you're also an entrepreneur. You're opening up your own clinic, you're being your own boss. At least that's the goal for a lot of our students. So you could be a business major and take all science classes as your electives to meet the requirements for the program and go into it that way. But I usually recommend picking a science major just so you've got a lot of those science classes automatically built into your schedule. Right. That's going to set you up for the most success taking things like organic chemistry, a little bit of the tougher classes, but you're going to be thankful that when you're in biochemistry, that first trimester of the chiropractic program, that you did take some of those harder classes.
We also
like to see students that have job shadowed. It's not a requirement for any of the programs, but it's something that we strongly encourage. I mean, especially if you're going to be going into a doctorate program and spending that kind of money to get that degree, you need to be certain that it's what you want to do when you graduate. So spending some time in a chiropractor's office, just kind of watching what they do day to day to make sure that that's something that they are really do have their heart set on.
Yeah, I kind of like that you hit on, you know, that entrepreneur side of things. I have several friends that are chiropractors and I've talked with them on the podcast and they, you know, they talk about how to they started their business as far as the different avenues they went down. So I think that part of it's pretty interesting by having a, you know, a little bit of experience as a part of, you know, either marketing or sales or, you know.
So my other advice for students that are majoring in like biology or chemistry is maybe taking business classes as your electives. So you can kind of have the best of both worlds there.
Get back and forth.
Yeah.
So as far as you professionally, let's kind of look at, you know, the next 10 years, you know, you've been at Cleveland now for 4, you've started to see some of those first year kids now come through and graduate.
Yeah.
Very close to graduating. Where do you see yourself professionally developing or being at in the next 10 years?
Yeah, ultimately, I would like to develop into more of the academic advisor role. As we've kind of talked about, the thing I enjoy most is connecting with the students and watching them go through the program. And I get to do a lot of that as an admissions advisor, but I kind of like, you know, staying connected with them while they're in the program. And I don't always get to do that as an admissions advisor. So I think switching more into academic advising, student services, connecting more with the students on the campus when they're here, instead of a lot of, I mean, I talk to a lot of prospective students that don't ever end up coming to Cleveland, which is still great, but getting to spend more time with the students actually on the campus is where I'd kind of like to see the career go.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like you said, you're spending your time recruiting a lot of those people, but what is the acceptance rate for Cleveland University?
So it is kind of dependent on the program. With like chiropractic, it's kind of like, if you meet, the great thing about Cleveland is we have multiple start dates a year for each of our programs. Right. So if you don't get into one start date, we'll usually, if you've met all the admissions requirements, push you to the next start date. So it kind of just depends.
And yeah, because you have that trimester type set.
Yeah, so the chiropractic program starts January, May, and September. The core classes for Rad Tech and OTA start in January and August, but we enroll in the prerequisites every 8 weeks. So we're kind of always going here.
Yeah, no, that helps out a lot by being able to see that kind of just the layout and process of how to get to where those students want to be. The next question I have is, it's kind of a back in time for you / in time, current time for these four different scenarios. So advice you would have for a college student interested in going to Cleveland University. Now, if you were yourself and wanting to get into this program, what things would you, and we kind of touched on some a little bit, but what specifically as a high school student should I be focusing on?
Well, I think I will repeat myself a bit here, but as a high school student, if you're interested in going into any healthcare program, taking anatomy and physiology while you're in high school, if it's available to you, I would highly recommend. Most of the time you're going to have to retake it at the college level, but it is a tough class. So any kind of foundations you can get in medical terminology, biology, chemistry, taking those, all the human body systems, whatever classes are available to you. If you have a medical track at your high school, going on that track. My other advice would be, again, job shadowing. Even if you're like, I know I want to be a dentist, so I'm going to shadow a dentist. Oh, great. I loved shadowing that dentist. Shadow other professions as well. When you apply to a lot of medical school programs, even though I said we don't require shadowing, a lot of med schools or dental programs will require that you have a certain amount of hours of job shadowing, but it's going to look better if you've shadowed multiple different careers and you say, I've tried a day in the life of all of these, and this is the path I want to take. So shadow a PT, shadow a chiropractor, shadow a doctor, shadow a dentist, shadow an occupational therapist. And then after doing all of that, you'll either be certain that what you set out to do is what you want to do, or you'll go, oh my God, what they do day to day is absolutely not what I want to do. What this occupational therapist did is way more interesting. Like, that's the path I want to go on. So that would definitely be my advice. I don't think I ever job shadowed anyone when I was in high school or college. And I think it would have helped me out a lot more, because you have this idea of what a job is. And then once you see what they do, like hour to hour in the day, it could look really different from what you think that job actually is.
Yeah, especially for a lot of the different healthcare professions, you know, there's so many of them out there. Just being a nurse, there's, you know, hundreds of different types of nurses out there.
Exactly.
And as far as, like, let's say there's a college undergraduate getting his degree in biology at some pretend university or college, and they're wanting to try to get into Cleveland, what advice do you have for them as far as, you know, volunteering, clubs or organizations they can belong to, and that kind of stuff?
Yeah. And again, like any pre-med club at a college would be great to belong to. Some colleges do have pre-chiropractic clubs. So if that's offered at your school, I would suggest that. My other advice is someone who's already in an undergraduate program thinking about coming to Cleveland for chiropractic would be to connect with an admissions advisor. So there is actually one student I'm really excited about. She's actually starting this fall at Cleveland. And I've been working with her since my first day back in 2018. She was actually the first student I ever gave a tour to. She was a senior in high school at the time. I've been working with her throughout her entire time in her undergrad because each semester she'll send me the list of classes she signed up to take and say, what do you think about these? I'll give my suggestions. I'm also keeping track of her, the prerequisites for the program. So, you know, I'll be like, okay, you need one more science class. You need another English class. So it's just a way to kind of monitor to make sure you're hitting all the requirements. So basically, like, I check in with her like twice a semester, once at the beginning, once at the end. But now I'm going to see her start the chiropractic program this fall. But I mean, she's been accepted to the program like 2 years ago. We've known that she's going to be getting started. So just connecting with an advisor to make sure that you are on the right track and you're not missing anything.
Well, that's awesome, too, because, you know, that hits on so many different levels of people that have given advice so far for that age group. And if you don't know, reach out. And so this took it upon herself, took the initiative to say, hey, you know, you said a senior in high school, recruiting visit.
Yeah.
She came and toured and liked it and said, okay, this is what I want to do. I'm going to go off to university, get my degree in exercise science or biology and come back. And, you know, I'm going to follow along the path to make sure I have all these classes. And I think that's really cool to see her take that initiative on herself and have that drive to want to make sure to get to where you're going.
And it makes it easier on me as an admissions advisor to not have to like hunt her down every semester and be like, what classes have you taken? Like, I need to make sure that you're hitting all the requirements. Like, just like we've had this relationship for so long, we just kind of check in with each other. And so I would encourage any student, get connected with your advisor and become friends with your advisor. Have an open communication there so you're not afraid to ask them when you have questions.
Yeah, and I think that really falls in too is when, you know, you're going, like you kind of mentioned also, you know, those people that are going back to school. I went back after 3 years of working in marketing sales to be a teacher, and I looked through the programs myself and kind of I did talk to a few people about making sure the undergraduate classes that I needed to catch up on to get my master's would count from, you know, a community college to University of Kansas. But then when I got to KU, I was kind of just like, okay, which classes do I take when? I don't know what the list and order and, you know, I was kind of used to having in my undergraduate program is here's the classes, here's the order, follow through it, and then you're done. But like you said, you know, by checking and making sure that you have all the boxes checked along the way prior to is makes your job easier also.
Yeah, definitely. Makes it easier for everyone.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Do you have any books or recommendations for articles or podcasts that you might be that you might recommend for a student that's wanting to get into chiropractic or a health career?
So I wouldn't say that these are specific to healthcare students, just kind of more recommendations for students in general. I have two. One book is The Power of Habit. That book was, I didn't read that till after college, but I just found it incredibly interesting, especially at a time in your life where you're not going to be on the same schedule that you were in high school. You're actually dictating a lot of, you have your kind of your own choices out ahead of you for the first time in your life of, you know, sometimes at schools, depending on which one you go to, there's multiple sessions of a class offered. So you're really building your schedule how you want and just creating habits that are going to make you a successful person.
Right.
Everything kind of flips upside down when you go to college. So that book really helped me see like how habits are formed and how to change bad habits, especially if you have maybe bad habits around studying, like cramming the night before a test, things like that, that's not really going to serve you in college. So that book from that perspective really it kind of shows you the psychology behind habits. And I think that's a really good book for anyone to read. Right. The other book I would suggest is kind of a different avenue. When I graduated from high school, I was really involved with journalism in high school. And so I was really close with that teacher, and he gave every senior a book as a gift. And so one of the books that he gave me was Tuesdays with Maury. Kind of a classic, but he wrote a note on the inside of it to me and just said, I read this book about every 3 years, and each time I read it, I get a different meaning out of it. So I've been doing that since I graduated high school, and I have to agree, every time I read that book, I kind of get a different, it's more of like, what is the meaning of life, a little bit bigger picture, but I've reread that book multiple times, and I do get something different out of it every time I read it. So that would be my other suggestion.
That's pretty interesting. I really like that, you know, the power of habit by showing how to set those habits and break the bad ones. And then I have not heard of the Tuesday with Maury. So I think that might be something to check out for myself.
It's a really quick, easy read. So that's why I like it. That's why I'm able to reread it so much. It's just a really short book, but it is good.
You kind of hit on these next two questions a little bit already. It is if you like and if you dislike blank, then going down this career path may not be the right career path for you. And we're going to just kind of talk about, because you work in admissions and you've seen people apply and try to get into the school, or talk to those people that say, oh, I'm interested in doing this. And like we said, some of them do and some of them don't. But if you dislike blank, then being in a health science career is not the right career path for you.
If you dislike customer service, because customer service is essentially patient care, you have to, even though you're going into like a science-based degree, you have to have the soft skills of having people skills, being empathetic, being a good communicator. A lot of times too, like people think like, oh, like rad tech, it's all just like you have the person stand there and you push a button and that's what a rad tech does. Well, a lot of times a person is coming to you in the radiology department because we don't know what's wrong with them yet. They're ordering that image so that we can diagnose the patient. So you as the rad tech not only have to explain what you're doing as the procedure, but you have to be able to keep that patient calm, reassure them. You have to be there as kind of their support system too. So I would say if you dislike people, that's so broad, but like if connecting with people isn't your main driving force, then it's not going to be a successful career with you, because you have to be able to care about the person first and the task you're doing second. Like ultimately you're there to care for that human as a person. Like they're not just, it's not like our rad tech director always says this, which I really like. He was like, it's not you've got a chest x-ray in room 3. It's who's in room 3, Mr. So, and like, you need to know who they are as a person and think of them as a person who's scared and might not know what's wrong with them. So just being able to have that mindset going into healthcare is definitely important. And I don't know that that's stressed enough.
That's funny. You're probably, like you said, people, you're probably the fifth or sixth person that has given that answer for that type of. So it's not, it's definitely something that is prevalent in a lot of people's replies about healthcare careers. And like you said, you know, Mr. Smith in room 3, well, what's wrong with him? Is his arm, you know, is something hurting him? Is he able to move properly? Also, you know, sometimes you're put in different gowns or clothing changes and that kind of stuff. And some people may not feel as comfortable with that. So you have to be able to talk them through that kind of process.
Exactly.
So to piggyback off of that, if you do like blank, then a healthcare career path might be the right path for you.
So I guess I would say if you do like people, that would be the first one. But also, if you like creative problem solving, if you like critical thinking, a lot of these roles like chiropractor, rad tech, OTA, all of them require some level of that like problem solving. You have a patient that comes in for chiropractic, they come in, they're having pain in their back. Well, it's not just like, okay, well, let's treat the pain in their back. It's let's figure out what's causing that pain. So sometimes it is kind of like a puzzle. Like you're trying to get this whole complete history of the person to figure out like, oh, well, they were in a car accident 5 years ago and never got treatment from that. Maybe that's where this is stemming right. from, things like that. Same with rad tech. You're trying to get the right image of a person to figure out what's going on with them. With OTA, they have a skill that they need to improve upon. How are you going to help them do that? So if you kind of like that critical thinking piece, healthcare is a good fit for you.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. And then a couple last questions for you. Thanks for spending your time with us today.
Yeah.
Do you have a mantra or quote that has really stood out to you that you kind of live your work or professional life through?
Absolutely. And this one actually comes from another high school teacher of mine. I had some really influential teachers and coaches back in high school. So this was actually from my dance coach back in high school, and she's said it to us a million times, and she lives by it in her current business, but it's, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. At the first time she ever said that to me, I think I kind of just didn't even really think about it or kind of disregarded it. But as I've grown up in my personal and professional life, I find it very true. You need to surround yourself with people who are going to help you get to where you need to be. Other people who have healthy habits or who are going in a similar direction or have the same qualities that you want to have as a person. Because hanging out with people who are kind of working on an opposite path as you will kind of drag you down eventually. So I really do believe that surrounding yourself with good people is how you're going to make it in the world.
Yeah. And to piggyback off of that, just something I heard recently that may go along with you to add to that when you tell that quote is, build your own advisory board. So pick the five people that you want on your advisory board that are going to help you along the way through your life, and build your personal resume is something that kind of sticks with that.
Absolutely.
So a really good quote is, being the average of the five people that you spend the most time with.
Yeah.
How can someone that's interested in Cleveland University find out more about the programs and the admissions process, either through social media, your guys' websites?
Yeah, the website is generally the best place to start, just cleveland.edu, just because it's going to have information on all of our programs and lots of different ways to fill out your information on the website and get it sent to us. But also just connecting with me. You can call or email me whenever you'd like, and I can get you connected. But we do have social media as well. Most of our accounts are at Cleveland UNIVKC Twitter and Instagram and things like that. But generally the website, just because you can read the info in there, and then there's always going to be a pop-up that says like, want more information? You type in your phone and email, and then an advisor will, if it's during business hours, will contact you within 3 to 5 minutes. So it's be ready to talk to an advisor if you fill out your info. If you fill it out overnight, we'll call you the next day.
Okay, cool. Well, Caroline, thank you so much for spending this time with us. We really appreciate learning all the ins and outs of, Cleveland, and as well as applying for programs.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This is great.
If you've made it this far into the episode, I want to thank you again for watching. Please subscribe, share, and comment below with any questions or comments you may have. If you're interested in more information about other professions within healthcare careers, please visit healthsciencecoach.com and talk to your school counselor or academic advisor. As always, stay happy, healthy, and live life with passion.